tension and shock and just your friendly faces with the mask. But I know that you're smiling behind it. So that's okay. It's good to see all of you here today. I have an important announcement that I was nominated to give. The Sacramento camp is open with a soft opening through the summer. So there would like to encourage, you know, family groups, not big conventions, but they're doing in a soft opening. And they're just wanting to let all the churches know and all the smaller groups know that they are operating. And they will be glad to start hosting you again. So everything with them, it's kind of like slowly but surely. Okay? All righty, let me open up with a word of prayer, please. God of the past, accept the people we have been and the baggage we drag behind us. God of the present, accept the people we are now and the potential that lies within us. God of the future, accept the people we could be by your Spirit transforming us. In Jesus' name we pray and dedicate this service to you. Amen.
Good morning and welcome. All righty. Few little housekeeping things. The prayer requests are on, I believe, yellow slips. Are they yellow? Yeah. Go ahead and fill them out. And as you leave to leave your offering, go ahead and leave your prayer request. Is that correct, Pastor?
That's correct.
Okay. Doing it like we're supposed to do it. The other thing was, it says reading of God's word is sacred. Please stand if you are able. Only when you see the asterisks. So there'll be different little places to stand. And then also to remember the guidelines for our masks. I guess we're not really singing. So, but like we are supposed to keep our masks if we're projecting. So I just welcome you. I see Paul. This is your first week back, isn't it? So welcome to you, all our summer people. It's so cool to see our summer people again. You guys came in, and it makes me feel wonderful to see you guys in church. So, are there any other announcements? Okay, so if there's no other announcements, I guess our opening music. Craig, are you in charge of that? Thank you.
Lifted.
Would you like to stand for our call to worship? You do not give up on the broken and the lost. You do not give up on the fractured or the shattered or the dying or the dead. You do not give up on the fearful or the hateful or the impossible. You do not give up when there's no heartbeat left or no heart at all. You do not give. You do not leave us for dead, Lord. Don't give up on us. Amen. The affirmation of our faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on 881. I believe in God. And if you will read with me the prayer of confession in unison. When our faith stands at the grave, grieving for a dream that has gone away, forgive us. When our faith is short of understanding, though the truth is there to see, forgive us. When our faith, beset by doubt, sees no further than an empty dream today, forgive us. Bring to mind the cry of Mary, I have seen the Lord, and grant us faith to believe. So we'll take a moment for silent prayer. The Declaration of Forgiveness. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Since Jesus died for us, we have peace with God, to whom be praise and honor forever. Amen.
If you will stay standing, this is the scripture for today. It comes from Luke 2, 36 and 38. Anna, a prophetess, was also there in the temple that day. She was the daughter of Phanuel, one of the Jewish tribes of Asher, and was very old, for she had been a widow for 84 years, following 7 years of marriage. She never left the temple, but stayed there night and day, worshiping God by praying and often fasting. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she also began thanking God and telling everyone in Jerusalem who has been waiting for the Messiah had finally arrived. This is the word of God for the people of God. Please have a seat. The Gospel of Luke contains many stories, sayings, and parables that they're not found anywhere else in the Bible. He just has a different way of telling the story and accounting for certain periods of times. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote about the Master's work, and he was able to pen Jesus' outstanding and sympathy with the needs of the women of his time. His attitude towards women was noble and uplifting. He gave them no special teaching, but admitted them to his kingdom on the same terms that he did the man. In Christ, there is neither male or female. Galatians 3, 28. Contrary to what sometimes is misinterpreted in the Bible, it wasn't Jesus that said, women, go upstairs and be quiet. He was the apostles. And that's because women tended to gather together. We haven't changed that much, I gotta tell you. And just and be disturbing to the teaching at that time. The role of women in the Gospel of Luke is more prominent than in any other gospel. If we pay attention, we can see the birth and infancy stories of Jesus are told from the point of view of a woman. There's so much caring and so much attention and so much fussy-wussy, you know. I think he did a wonderful job looking at it from a different point. Keep that in his mind, it's not surprising that he chose to tell Anna's brief but powerful story. Luke tells us that Anna, whose name means grace, was a prophetess. There had been others before her, but Anna was the last of the Old Testament women that was known to be remarkably devout and habitual in earnest prayer, along with having the gift of prophecy and utterance. Anna's family roots were in Asher, one of the 8 sons of Jacob and one of the dispersed tribes of Israel. Anna was one of the remnant of Israel, saved to serve and blessed to represent at Christ's coming to the sheep of the house of Israel. The Bible says that Anna was advanced in years. In those days, a woman could marry as early as the age of 12. If this was true for her, she would have been a widow at the age of 19. And when she saw the promise of God come to life, she could have been about 103 years old. Even though she was a widow with broken dreams and no children, she could have had the opportunity of going back, if not to her father's house, but at least to her people. Certainly, she would have found other people from her tribe, even if they were not together, where she could just, you know, go in and get close to and become part of that family. But she did not stay home. That was not the path she chose to take. She did what I like to encourage others to do and what I do myself. She did not focus on the lost opportunities, but the opportunities yet to gain. She focused on God's plan for the future, the same way that this should be our plan. Thinking about yesterday and what happened and you know, the trajectory, the baggage that comes behind us is not going to help us any as we go forward. So we have to find encouraging words if we need to. And there are plenty on the Bible that will help us get from today to tomorrow. To Anna, each day was a gift from God to be lived for his glory. So every day when she wakes up, I imagine her thanking God for another day, for the gift of time. She certainly considered that if she had been given that time, it has to be so that she can praise him. I imagine Anna learning from the words of Moses, as he said, "So teach us to number our days, that we might present to you a heart of wisdom." And Anna's heart of wisdom taught her not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself and will have problems of its own. Anna was not immune from trials and tribulations. None of us are, none of us will be. She knew the grief of losing a husband and the pain it brings to the heart. Being a widow must have been devastating in those times. She will not be able to make a future for herself, and she will have to depend on God's people or remarried to survive. Her choices for the future were very limited. But Anna was rich in a way that can be measured and never found herself alone or forsaken. Anna lived what she believed. She was an example to others, and I like to say she was significant in people's life. If you see the work that she did at the temple, praying and fasting for Israel, for the people that had come there with a petition, for the people that she would see that were suffering and sick and brokenhearted, she was interceding in their behalf, expecting nothing, asking for nothing. That's what I call significant. We can all be good, and all of us have been good at one time or another, but being significant on somebody else's life, that is really special. So why did Anna succeed under these circumstances when so many did not and do not succeed today? So this is what I gleaned from reading her story. One, she learned to daily abide in Christ. Verse 37 says she never left the temple. She never ran away or became faithless. She kept trusting and obeying. Anna believed and depended on God to supply her every need, but also to use her life for his glory. Jesus will later tell us in John 15 and 4, the secret that Anna discovered. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. For a branch cannot bear of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Anna had learned the wisdom that she had acquired through her lifestyle and her prayer and her devotions was giving her the tools to abide in Christ and to know that in him she would have everything she needed. Would she have everything she wanted? I don't know. I don't know exactly what the women of that time would want, since there was no Gucci, you know, and Chanel and stuff. I just find it hard to believe, but you know, definitely she abided in the Lord. And in him, she found everything she needed. Are you abiding in him today? When things don't go your way, do you pick up the phone to call your girlfriend, your sister, your cousin, your neighbor? Or do you just sit down, whether inside or outside? Outside here, there's so much beauty that it just feels that you have just walked into heaven when you step outside of your door. Do you just take a moment and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't even understand what's happening. I don't know how long this is going to be. I don't know what the future will bring. I know that I'm here right now, but I don't know where I will be tomorrow. I just want to tell you, Lord, that I am going to hold on to you. I'm going to let you lead me. And I'm going to count on you to give me a discerning spirit so that I know how to navigate the rest of the day today. And tomorrow, I'll meet you here again and ask you for the same gift, discernment, to navigate the day. Second, Anna was a servant. The scripture says Anna was serving night and day. She served God and man and remained in a state of readiness. She was ready for the opportunities the Lord will bring her way. Like Jesus, she saw her purpose to serve, not to be served. So I take a pause here. Serve. Some of us have been serving for a long time. It feels like that to me sometimes, and I know that it has to feel the same way to some of you. One of the things that I hear most often in the church in general, not only here, but in general, that is always the same group that volunteers to serve in the church. So people, of course, become tired and disenchanted because they just feel that, you know, they're being misused, that nobody else thinks that serving the church is worth their time. I remember how some of you have been serving here for a long, long time. For some today, our health is not as good as it was when we were younger. And for the younger ones, I could almost hear you looking for the extra time in the day just to add one more thing. But there's so much that we can do at every age and at every stage, at every season of our lives. For us, it seems that our get up and go has gotten up and gone and left us behind. You know, sometimes I get up in the morning and I'm looking at all the boxes and I'm thinking, oh, I have to unpack all this. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm already tired. You know, so I have a second cup of coffee, sit outside in my rocking chair until the sermon comes to me. And the Lord says, come on, the garage is waiting for you. Many of you have served a lifetime. Others are serving as parents or grandparents to small children. Others are faithful caregivers of those that one day gave all they were to us. How can we do any more now? But verse 37 says, Anna served day and night with fasting and prayers. Notice the importance given to fasting and praying as a significant type of service in the eyes of God. If you read through the Bible, while many things kind of like the wording might change a little bit, fasting and prayer doesn't change. It's the same in the Old Testament, it's the same in the New Testament. It is significant. It is important. It is something that should not be neglected or overlooked. The enemy would like for us to think that we have done enough. Raise our children, you know, we've worked our lives and this and that, and, you know, serve in the church here and there. So that's enough. That prayer has nothing to do with service. When the truth is, the battle is actually won on your knees. Sometimes, as seniors, we have our grandchildren that are teens, and you know, they're perfect, and their parents tell us that they're perfect. But we don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know their day-to-day because we're not there. And if your children are like my children, they're not going to pick up the phone to tell me, well, your granddaughter did this and this, and she has bad grades. They're not going to do that. So it's up to me to pray for her and let the Holy Spirit direct my prayer to where it's needed. But I do want to tell you something. My granddaughter, she's 16, about to turn 17. Her mother went on strike about 4 weeks ago of cooking because her and her father were just not cleaning the kitchen and were not helping around. And my daughter works from home, so she was still working. So she decided to go on strike. I find out that on Thursday, my daughter had been threatened by my granddaughter. If you don't cook, I'm going to call your mother. So that was Thursday. Friday, I guess the dam broke. My daughter did not cook, and my granddaughter had had enough. Grandma, there's no food. My mom is starving me, Grandma. There's nothing to eat, Grandma. She just went on strike, and she didn't ask me. That was the whole thing. She didn't ask her, you know. How could you go on strike? You didn't tell me. Well, your father knew. Well, yeah, he didn't tell. He made beans. He had no salt, you know. But then that's the same 17-year-old that tells me, this thing, this virus is destroying my life, Grandma, destroying my life, you know. She hasn't gone to school for months, and, you know, life is just going, you know, without her, and she can't do that. No volleyball, no movies, no nothing, you know, and now her mother on strike. But the thing here is that we don't know really what our children are doing. Even my daughter doesn't know, once my granddaughter is outside of her purview, what she's doing. Prayer still works. Third, Anna had a thankful heart. She learned to see people and circumstances through the eyes of a merciful and gracious God. it just makes me think that she could see people for what they were for a moment, but then her mind and her heart went to see their better side, a better side that maybe even the people didn't know they had. But that's what I see when I hear that, that she went on to see something else in them. God granted Anna eyes to see and ears to hear because she abided in the promises of the Messiah. She saw what only the prophet Simeon and the joy of touching the child that day. She saw Emmanuel, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ. Among all religious leaders in the temple, among all the scribes and the Pharisees, only Anna and Simeon were able to see and touch the Messiah. She knew this Christ child was the source of her joy. Therefore, she could in everything give thanks. Her life had been worth it. Not one day had been wasted in her life. Finally, Anna was a lifestyle witness for Jesus Christ. In simple words, Anna walked her talk. Many of you come to know fully this possession of peace that it's only found in the Lord. You can have everything you want, you can think that you are at peace because there's no confrontation, there's no dilemma, there is no drama around you, and you can exhale. But your real peace, the one that surpasses all understanding, can only come from Christ and can only come by you meeting with him. If not every day, every other day, and if not every once in a while. But you need to go to the well in order to drink the water. Jesus paid it all, and to him all we owed. Give God the glory. Thank him for what you have. Thank him for what you have been able to give your children and your grandchildren. Thank him for where you are, for your surroundings, even for your health. If you think that it's not that good, you still have the gift of time. I encourage you today to pick someone from this church, people around you, and focus all this week in praying for them. You don't have to tell them if you don't want to, or you can tell them, how can I pray for you? You don't really need to know anything about them, just to pray for the person. I think the Holy Spirit will direct you in the way that you're to go. And you could always, always pray a prayer that God will always answer. God, bring them closer to you. Let your word be building their heart and their mind. Let your grace overflow over them that they could, others could see that this is your child representing you. There are many ways that you can pray for someone without knowing what they're actually going through. Pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you. Give each other the gift of prayer. You never know who you can meet when you're interceding in prayers for others. There is a little of Anna in every one of you. No, we're not going to come to the temple and be here night and day and wait for us to bring you food. And that's not going to happen, and that's not what I'm asking. You don't even have to come here to be in prayer. You don't even have to do 40 days of fasting, not even a week, not even a day. Fast from something that robs your time from God. For me, it's not food. For me, it's television. For me, it's the news. For me, it's a documentary. So when I fast, I put all that away. And it takes me about 2 hours to balance myself because I'm going, And then after that, the next 3 hours, then I'm able to sit down and just, you know, exhale and just spend the time in total stillness with God. So all of you have a little bit of Anna inside of you. All of you can pray. All of you can find your way of fasting. Whatever is keeping you away from giving the Lord 1, 2, 3, 5 hours, that's what you need to fast from. I encourage you to pray for each other. As we go forward, there's so many things that are being said about the pandemic. Is it going to come back? Is it going to be worse? You know, what's going to happen? The financial situation. Things that we don't know, things that we have no say in and we're no control in. But there's plenty for us to pray about each other. There's plenty for us to give thanks God about each other. So I really would like to encourage you to pick a prayer person this week and lift them up in prayer all week long. Let us pray. Lord, you infuse us with the inner strength we need. By your power, we are able to endure all things. By trusting in your word and by striving to live as you have commanded, we learn peace and contentment in every circumstance. We find satisfaction whether there is abundance or scarcity. When life is rough and we are in need, teach us to trust and persevere through these tough times with our eyes looking to you for direction. May we feel the fullness of your presence dwell in us as we wait on you to see us through our hardship. May our prayers, Lord, to you and for each other be a sweet aroma into the eyes of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Are holy, you alone are good, you alone are perfect.
as we get ready to start another week, keep yourself safe, love on each other, and remember to pray for each other also and for your church. Receive this blessing from the Lord. May God's love surround you, God's spirit guide you, God's whisper cheer you, God's peace calms you, God's shield protect you, God's wisdom arm you wherever God may lead you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Amen. Wonderful week. God bless you all.